Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
We're ready to party!
We're ready to party!
I hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
I'm scared. Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends.
Fiesta!
Romancing!
Siesta!
Samba!
La Bamba!
Ay,
caramba! Disguises!
Disguises!
Surprises!
Surprises!
And pies of...
And pies of
all sizes!
Ah! Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends!
You bet!
Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends! Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends! Garfield and friends!
It doesn't start till the fat lady screams. Good morning. Today we present a story about my favorite subject, cats eating. May we have a little storytelling music, please? Hey, what do you want on a cartoon show, the London Philharmonic? The Royal Appetite. Once upon a merry time, oh, by the way, this thing's in rhyme, there was a kingdom by the sea, as happy as a town could be. The people smiled all the day within this land called Portly Bay, for Portly Bay had everything, including quite a hefty king. His herald warned, "Please stand aside for good King Jonathan the Wide." The people cleared the sidewalk fast so that their king could waddle past. For John the Wide was in his reign, a king as large as his domain. And in this town he was in charge, a royal figure, very large, gourmet and aristocrat. Just take my word, this guy was fat. The people loved their chief of state and cheered each time he gained some weight, because this town's economy was based on his obesity. Each year a king from far away would bring a gift to Portly Bay. "This gold I bring to give this town, the weight of he who wears the crown." Just why the presents, I don't know. Some custom started long ago. His weight in gold they brought in trucks with John. That meant a lot of bucks. The gold gave them a cause to cheer. It paid to run the town all year. And every year the folks were told,
"No taxes since we have this gold."
His weight made them a kingdom rich. But one man had a royal itch. The Duke of Blurp had made it known,
"My eyes are on the royal throne."
He had a plan for Portly Bay.
"When I am king, then all will pay. I'll tax their jobs, I'll tax their fun, tax everything and everyone. I'll tax each table, lamp, and chair. There'll be a tax for breathing air. And to be sure that I'm not lax, I'll charge a tax on paying tax."
The Duke, you see, was not too nice. He sought a witch out for advice.
"The king,"
she said,
"is much too fat. So give to him this pussycat."
"This is exactly what he needs. I'll pay you when the plan succeeds."
He thought her scheme was very grand and exited with cat in hand. And at the palace gate he cried,
"I have a gift for John the Wide."
The Duke, you see, was very shrewd.
"A cat to taste the royal food. Just let him sample everything. Make sure it's fit to serve a king."
The king was grateful for the pet. He didn't see the danger yet. That evening at the royal spread, the king brought in the cat and said,
"As my official tasting cat, please try a bit of this and that."
The cat not only took a taste, he cleared the table off in haste. He ate the turkey, beef, and ham. He ate the rolls with lots of jam, a burger and a chocolate shake, a 7-layer birthday cake, a dish of beets, a bowl of broth, a couple bites of tablecloth, a duck l'orange, a cheese souffle, whatever else was in his way. The eating went on most all night. The Wide One couldn't get a bite. At 2 a.m., a bad attack. He had to get a midnight snack. But in the kitchen was the beast, continuing his dining feast. Next morning was the same old thing. No food could ever reach the king, and many times poor John the Wide had food which he would try to hide. He very soon discovered that he could not hide it from the cat. For weeks the king would crave a treat and never get a bite to eat. The duke would look with great delight at how the feline appetite and lack of nightly chocolate mousse had caused the wide one to reduce. When you can't even get a grape, you can't maintain a royal shape. For months and months it was the same. Then finally the big day came. "The man is here," the king was told, "to give to you your weight in gold." They wouldn't get a lot for him, for John the Wide was John the Slim. It seemed to John a little strange. They balanced him with pocket change. To all, it was a ghastly joke. Without more gold, the town was broke. The duke was filled with evil glee.
"They'll dump the king and honor me."
The king could only fret and say,
"There's got to be a better way."
It was the cat who had the hint, for down there in the tiny print,
"The gold is weighed for he,"
it said,
"who wears the crown atop his head."
The answer came in nothing flat, to put the crown atop the cat. For if the gold were to his weight, the town would have a richer fate. And so they piled gold galore and needed still a little more to balance what the feline weighed required every cent they'd made. The people cheered and laughed and cried, more gold than earned by John the Wide. The duke was not a happy man.
"That witch gave me a stupid plan."
And when she asked him for her pay, he told her,
"Sorry, sis, no way."
The duke forgot it's very rash to stiff a witch expecting cash. She'll cast a spell and you'll become a jackass, mule, or something dumb. So the cat had saved the day for everyone in Portly Bay. The biggest feast they could afford was thrown together as reward. But as he watched the cat consume, the king said with a certain gloom,
"To feed him for a year, I feel, means we lose out on this deal."
The moral, folks, it must be told, a fat cat's worth his weight in gold. And now this tale I must suspend, for I have come to the finish. And now, in spite of my better judgment, we bring you Screaming with Pinky. Actually, today I'm safe because Binky's 1,000 miles away attending a clown convention in New York. Connection. We'll be right back.
Now, this is the face of a prize rooster.
Getting all dressed up to watch the big state fair parade?
Actually, we're hoping the farmer will notice how good we look.
And enter us in some of the contests at the fair.
Not I. They do not give blue ribbons for yellow streaks.
Sorry to disappoint you, but I think the farmer's only taking the pulling team and some of our best vegetables again this year.
At least we can watch the parade as it passes by the farm.
Yeah, we'll be the best groomed animals lining the fence as usual.
I'll see you later, then.
Aren't you coming with us, Orson?
Well, somebody has to stay here and guard the harvest, and that somebody might as well be me.
Knock yourself out, piggo.
We're gonna clean that barn out of vegetables.
How are we gonna get it with our little brother gardener?
I got it all figured out. You know how Orson can't resist a book, right?
I bet everybody's having fun watching the parade.
Hey!
Ben-Hur, A Tale of Ancient Rome. Wonder how it got here. Soon came the day of the great chariot race. This was the day on which Ben-Hur had staked his life.
Easy there, my noble steed. You must save your strength and energy for winning the race today.
Orson Ben-Hur, there is much wagering among the spectators in the stands.
The people are betting on the brothers Gort, Mort, and Wart to win.
You can beat the odds and become a very wealthy man if your horses are the swiftest.
I chose to match my trusty team against my sworn adversaries not for money, but for honor. They falsely accused me of crimes against the Empire. And for this, I was sentenced to spend the rest of my life as a slave on a general's ship. For the hand of fate, a lifeguard course I took as a child, and the chance rescue of the general, I might have perished there. Instead, I was rewarded with my freedom, and I have come back to settle an old score. So you see, Roman gold means nothing to me.
Oh, that's so heroic.
The trumpet calls, and I must prepare.
Don't forget heroic. You should put a little extra money away for a rainy day, Ben-Hur. It couldn't hurt.
Ben-Hur! The spectators are all giving a cheer. Ben-Hur! To the Empire's favorite charioteer. Ben-Hur! His rig may not look too fancy, but Ben-Hur! Is one speedy pig in a chariot. Ben-Hur! 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 Ben-Hur!
You're a wimp, Ben-Hur!
Hooray for Ben-Hur! Hooray!
He's my hero-type person.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, start your horses!
They're off and all the chariots are in a cloud of dust. The dust has cleared and Ben's ahead. He'll win this race, he must. But wait, those mean old hoggy boys are up to no good. If Ben hasn't paid his health plan, well, maybe he should. Ben-Hur is in trouble. Ben-Hur is behind. Ben-Hur is down. Ben-Hur, never mind.
I've got to finish the race and win the prize.
Giddy up!
I must get back into my chariot.
Uh-oh, our brother's coming after us.
This'll stop him.
Steady, my loyal steeds. We'll win this race yet.
Well, this sure is an exciting parade.
Arthur! Arthur!
I just wish they had more floats. I love floats. Ooh, that one wasn't bad.
Too bad Orson wasn't here to see it.
Whoa!
That one was okay.
Faster, you stupid horse.
What happened?
You won, Orson.
I won the chariot race?
No, the blue ribbon for the best float.
This chair isn't level. That's easy enough to fix.
Garfield! Garfield!
Is the chair level yet?
It's about 10 more miles to Cactus Jake's Dude Ranch, guys. Well, you must be really suffering with all that fur, Garfield.
I'm fine as long as my supply of snow cones holds out.
Hey, Odie, want a lick?
Yeah!
You have no idea how long I've waited to do that to him.
Well, I hope you have enough snow cones for 10 more miles, because...
Fuck! They got me, Louie. Tell Ma I loved her. And bury me not on the lone prairie.
Garfield, it's just a flat tire.
Boy, you're no fun.
I hope the spare tire has air in it. What? Garfield, you took the spare tire out to make more room for snow cones. Is that it?
Hey, pal. Necessities of life.
You realize what a mistake this is?
You're right. I should have brought less lemon and more grape.
I'm going to walk back to that gas station we passed a few miles back. I'll be back as soon as possible. Try and stay out of the sun.
Well, I'd better save my snow cones for later. It's later.
It's farther than I thought. I made it. Excuse me.
Welcome to Seymour's self-serve service station. You can pump your own gas, check your own oil, and wash your own windshield.
I have a flat tire.
You can also fix your own flat tire. We don't do that, too.
But my cat, my dog, they're out there in the desert all alone.
You know, Odie, in the desert, your eyes can play tricks on you. You can see things that aren't there.
Huh?
Yep, they're called mirages. Mirages are fantasies of the desert. What do you see out there, boy? Odie? Odie, you cashew-brained canine? Odie, it's a mirage. There's nothing out there but desert, and more desert, and more... Hey, sometimes you don't ask questions. It was a mirage, Odie. A mirage. Odie, come back. That's another mirage. Odie! Odie! Odie, you foolish Fido. Anyone out there want to buy a dog? Odie, there is no merry-go-round there.
Huh?
No, it's a mirage. No merry-go-round. No horsey. No horsey. Odie, your brains are a mirage. Now, let's get walking back to the car. It's that way. Where that way. Odie, we're lost in the desert.
It's right up ahead. Boy, am I glad you happened along. You're so kind.
Gonna cost you plenty.
I hope my dog and cat are okay. There it is. That car there. Garfield! Odie! I'm back! I found a tow truck and he's... Guys? Where'd they go? They left paw prints in the sand. Follow those prints.
Gonna cost even more.
That's it, Odie. I can't go any farther. This is how it ends. Miles from water. Miles from civilization. Miles from a good Italian restaurant. I'll never see John again. That's sad. Of course, on the other hand, I'll never see Nirmal again. It's another mirage. Ignore it. I know it looks like an ice cream parlor, but it's a mirage. You'll end up with a sand sundae. Poor pup. Doesn't even realize this is it. The end. Finito. That's all, folks. No, it's a mirage. I'm not gonna fall for it again. But it looks so delicious. Ooh, okay. Here comes another mouthful of sand, folks. Ooh. Yep, everything here is a mirage. The lakes, the mountains, John standing by the tow truck. They even have dumb-looking mirages.
Garfield?
They even have talking mirages. John? Is it really you? It is you! Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Garfield, enough! Let's get out of this desert.
That's the second largest lasagna I've ever seen in my life.
No, Garfield, that's just a mirage. We're back at the car. Please fix the tire as fast as you can.
Gonna cost you.
Looks like we're all set to go.
Let me go. There's lasagna out there, and women, and lasagna.
Garfield, it's a mirage. Now, here's your money. He was a mirage. But we got here, and the tire's fixed, and... Let's not ask questions. Let's just get out of here.
But the lasagna oasis...
That was a mirage, Garfield.
Can you believe that? He didn't want our lasagna.